man, I hate when that happens. You always end up with a good interview, a good segment, and then you look up, you're like, oh, crap, I got to take a break. I got somebody else I'm due to have come on. Ah! It hurts. It hurts, I tell you. Shout out to Warren McCarty as well as Steve from Plant City, Florida, chiming in. Biggest bust of all time. So we got Jamarcus Russell, Ryan Leaf, and Heath Shuler. Left my man from My Passions Football going, hey, I forgot about that dude. Now I gotta rethink. Either way, shout out to them. Good segment. Keep those answers coming. Again, your biggest bust of all time. Not necessarily in the NFL or college football or whatever. Of all time. Your biggest waste of time. The biggest situation to where you looked at an athlete, you went, yeah, man, I hope he makes it good. And then after about a half a year, you go, oh, what the hell, man? Really? This how you do? 719-362-8851 or 8852. Carla, I see you on. I'm going to get to you in just a bit. But right now, bringing in my man talking college football from ESPN 1480 in Nebraska as well as Black Sports Online. Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Smith. G. Smith, thanks for taking some time out, sir. I appreciate it.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. I'm good to be back. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I kind of freaked out for the last little minute. I'm like, ooh, dude, I lost his number. Oh, this can't happen.
Yeah, you know, it happens.
Yeah, you know. All right, so let's talk some college football and start off with the Pac-12 championship that we saw last night. What was it, 51-13 or some outrageous number like that? Oregon over Arizona, securing one of the seats in the college football playoff. How far do you think this Oregon team can go?
This Oregon team has all the makings of a championship team. I mean, as long as you have Marcus Mariota playing, you know, like the best quarterback in the country, has those absurd numbers that he's putting up. As long as you have that, you always have a chance. The thing that happened last night was that their defense clamped down on Arizona State. After Arizona had beat them, I think that revenge factor kind of came into play a little bit. That defense, who I think sometimes gets overlooked, the job that they've done with that defense out there, because there's so much focus on the offense. But the defense, though, is the X factor. If the defense keeps playing like this, you know that eventually Oregon's going to put up points on people. So they've got good a chance as anybody.
Absolutely. And sticking with the college football playoff, as it stands right now, the four teams you're looking at are Alabama, Oregon, Florida, and TCU, still shocking to me. We'll talk about that in just a bit. But the team that has won 28 straight games and is undefeated this year and spent some time at the top of the national polls, Florida State University, number four? Tell me this is not a case to where the committee's trying to kick these dudes out.
I feel like they are now over-penalizing Florida State, right? So I think that in the beginning, when, you know, the rankings first started coming out, and, you know, Florida State was one. Then they started dropping a little bit, right? People were like, okay, the committee's kind of smart, because they're seeing that Florida State is barely winning these games. They're having to come back against teams they shouldn't have. They're not putting complete games together, so it's right to maybe have them two, okay? Mm-hmm. Or maybe even three, you can make a case for. But this week, to have them four is completely disrespectful to Florida State. And I can't believe that the committee has now turned people into rooting for Florida State in a lot of ways and defending them and saying how disrespected they are. Florida State went out and scheduled good teams in their out-of-conference. They played Oklahoma State, they played Florida, they played Notre Dame. They beat all three of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not their fault that they play in a crap-tastic ACC, but they are beating those teams, even though they're having to come back. I'm not saying that they need to be number one just because they're undefeated, because I don't think they're the best team. But to say that they're the fourth best team and that they're worse, they're not as good as TCU right now at this moment, that's a crock, man.
Yeah. Speaking of TCU, by the way, Greg Smith, Black Sports Online and ESPN 1480 on the hotline with us. Speaking of TCU, give us some clues as to what in the blue hell is going on with this beef with TCU and Baylor. Now, TCU is third, but Baylor beat them. And now there's this whole thing, dude, there's so much to it. Can you boil it down to a Reader's Digest version? What's going on between TCU and Baylor?
Yeah, so this is really my biggest beef with the committee at this moment. You know, we have, you know, Heather Dinich, who is ESPN national reporter for the college football playoff. We have her on our show, Necessary Roughness, which comes on every day, 2-4 on ESPN 1480. We have her every Wednesday after the playoff rankings are released. And every Wednesday I ask her why in the world Baylor is behind TCU every week, even though Baylor beat them. I don't understand this. I don't want to hear about TCU's body of work being, you know, better than Baylor, and the fact that their body of work is so much better than Baylor's that the head-to-head doesn't even come into play. To me, it seems like the committee has this backwards. Head-to-head should be the first thing that we think of when you're trying to separate teams. The reason being is that you don't often have these head-to-head matchups between these teams. And Alabama and Oregon aren't going to play in the regular season. But when you have two teams that are in the same conference that played each other and won one, and that team, by the way, is probably going to end up being the champion of that conference, even though they're going to, the Big 12 is going to say they're the co-champs because they're going to, you know, muck this whole thing up more, which is even more ridiculous. That's a whole different thing. Like, how do you just decide that if the two teams have the same record, that they're going to be co-champs even though one team beat the other? Right. Baylor has a legitimate gripe about all of this. The one thing that I would say, and I've been consistent on this too, is Baylor is a little bit at fault here for playing the Little Sisters of the Poor in their out-of-conference schedule. They didn't play anybody. They have a policy in Art Briles that he's going to stick with this policy of playing basically two FCS schools and then a Power 5 team that's basically from a lesser division and then see how it goes from there. That's going to come back to bite them in future years. Coming back to bite them now, they're going to have to change that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Excuse me, Greg Smith on the hotline. So what do we see as outcomes for today? Now, we've already crowned the Pac-12 and the Oregon Ducks. We have an ACC championship with Florida State and Georgia Tech. We have a Big Ten championship with Wisconsin and Ohio State, of which the winner of that could possibly slide their way in. And then you got TCU and Baylor going at it today. How do you see the dice shaking out in this one?
I see all of the games. I think that the favorites will win all of those. I think TCU, except for one. I think that TCU is going to win. I think Baylor's going to win because Bryce Petty got clear from the concussion. As long as he holds up with that, I think they'll beat Kansas State, and they're going to try to get some style points out there. I think Bama's going to beat Mizzou. I think Florida State will end up putting it on Georgia Tech. I think that this is finally the week that they're going to put up together, and they'll be really angry about the rankings and all of that. The one game that you need to keep your eye on is that Wisconsin-Ohio State game. With JT Barrett going down for Ohio State last week, it was the worst possible thing that could ever happen to Ohio State short of Urban Meyer quitting on them like he did Florida. But Wisconsin, their running game with Melvin Gordon is phenomenal, and Ohio State's defense is just not up to par. They're not going to be able to slow him down, and I have real concerns whether or not you can really get a third-string quarterback for Ohio State, because that's what he is. You know, people forget that this is Ohio State's third quarterback since they came into the season with Braxton Miller as the starter. It's going to be hard to get Cardale Jones up and ready to go for this game. I think Wisconsin's going to beat them at the Big Ten Championship.
Oh, man. Should be good. Like I said, it should be good either way. And I put it this way: this is the week that everybody kind of pays attention. Not only guys in the media like yourself, working stiffs like me, and a slew of about what's the committee? What, 12, 13 people? They got their nice room that they get to watch all the games on Big Ten TV. Oh my God, that picture on that laid me out. I was like, what, dude? Can I get a brew? Really?
Right. Can I get a seat? Can I sit behind y'all and just hang out?
For real, man. I mean, but this is the week that everybody pays attention to because it shapes up and it shapes up for everything else. Let's fast forward to tomorrow when you have the selection show. Let's say you're the one that has to make the announcement. Who are the four teams going into the playoff?
If it's me making the announcement, I've got Alabama, Oregon, Florida State, and Baylor. And in that way, we get Alabama versus Baylor down in the Sugar Bowl for that first game, and then we get Oregon and Florida State out in the Rose Bowl of Pasadena for the other semifinal game, and then we see how this ends up. I think it would be a tremendous matchup to see that Baylor offense against that Alabama defense. I think they could give Nick Saban some issues. And, man, Oregon against Florida State with Marcus Mariota versus Jameis Winston would be tremendous as well. Baylor beat TCU in head-to-head, they should get that fourth spot. I don't think that's how it's going to end up. I think it'll be TCU in that fourth spot, Florida State in third spot, but I would put Baylor in over TCU.
Like that. I like that. And speaking of, let's fast forward to the next couple of years. I asked this question last week and got some good fodder for it. I want to hear from you. Finish this sentence. It will be blank years. It will take blank years for the college football 4-team playoff to become 8. How many years is it going to take?
Three. It'll be pretty quick. We already see a momentum for it. And I said this before the season started, that the real push for 8 teams in this playoff is going to come from coaches. It's going to come from fans. The fans are going to want more and more and more. The networks are going to want more and more and more because it's going to be more money, right?
Yeah.
The coaches, though, you have to keep an eye on them because now what are they judged on? Only 4 teams get to what is the pinnacle of the sport, right?
Right.
Have an opportunity to get to the pinnacle of the sport. Now you have fan bases looking at the coach saying, oh, he can't get to be one of those 4 teams. This coach can't get us over the hump. It adds another layer of pressure, and it makes their margin of error so much more thin. If you expand it to 8, they've got a better chance to get in. They can write in some more escalators and bonuses into their contracts. They just have a better overall percentage chance of getting in this thing. Coaches will be the ones to drive this thing to 8, and I think it's going to happen in 3 years.
Yeah, it's everybody's looking around two or 3 years. I put it this way, with ESPN holding that contract for, 12 years? It's got to happen. It has to happen one of these times. Greg Smith, Black Sports Online, ESPN 1480. Any other spots where we can find you, man? It seems like you're all over the place.
No, that's pretty much it. For now, it really is just ESPN 1480. I host a show on there called Necessary Roughness from 2 to 4, Monday through Friday. I've been doing the Husker pregame show as well for us. Also doing the Husker basketball show, pregame show, which we have tomorrow. We got a pretty big game here tomorrow for basketball. I can't believe we're fully into basketball season right now. I'm not ready to let college football go.
Hey, you go where the money is, right?
That's right.
My man, Greg Smith. Greg, appreciate you coming on, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. Anytime.
All right, man. Hey, well, Tim, we'll take a break on that. Tank, I see you. Tank in Atlanta, I see the flashing light. I see it. I see you. You're going to be coming on soon. In fact, since I know you always have a lot to say, I'm going to save you for the next hour. So give me another few minutes. Just another few minutes. Let me get through this break. I'm gonna bring you on the top of the hour. Cool. Because everybody always wants their spot in the top of the hour. Nevertheless, we'll come back. Hour one done. Hour two, starting off with Tank from Atlanta, who always has a lot to say. And then a bunch of other stuff lined up for hour two. You know what? I'm not even gonna explain it right now. You just need to stick around. It's Talking Sports with that guy. I wish that guy would rather talk to you, but nevertheless, stick around. It's cosmicbroadcasting.com.